Chapter 71. I'm okay, you know. Not even a scratch. Well, maybe something of a bruise. You Shems hit hard. But I'm all right. Honest, Llewellyn says, as Cassandra frowns, examining her arm and scrubbing at her skin with a wet cloth. The blood isn't mine. Llewellyn turns to Solas. You know, for a bunch of people who initially thought I was a cold-blooded murderer, you're being awfully concerned over me when I kill people trying to kill me. I've done this before. I mean, I didn't make the conclave go weird and explodey, but I didn't, you know, survive the past 20 years without killing a few Shems. Llewellyn attempts to pull her arm from Cassandra's grasp, gets a sharp admonishment, and the woman returns to gently dabbing at bruises and washing blood off her skin. Is anyone going to actually talk to me? Cassandra's brows are drawn downward, and Solas just presses cold fingers to the bruise on her cheek, giving her a small shake of the head. Here's the thing, kid, Varric says, arms crossed as he frowns at her bloody footprints. For the past few weeks or so, we've kind of gotten used to seeing you as, I don't know, soft? Kind of young? Really childish in your own way. And when you have a certain image of someone, it also gets hard to remember how fucking dangerous that person can be. Pardon my language. But shit, kid. Shit. They were trying to hurt me, she says. We know. They were trying to hurt all of us, Cassandra says, letting go of Llewellyn's arm to take her other one, peeling back damp leather and frowning at the purpling bruises on her thin arms. It was self-defense. It's not that you did something wrong. It's just that sometimes it strikes us that you shouldn't have to be doing that self-defense thing in the first place, Varric says. The world is a shitty place, and sometimes it's hard to remember that. Then something like this smacks you across the face, and you've got to think, and maybe be a little angry for a bit. Llewellyn opens her mouth, and Varric shakes his head. Not at you. Just at things in general. Varric waves his hand. It's not you, kid. It's not you.
Mother's arms are always warm and always soft, welcoming, but there will never be arms like Mother's again. I must be strong for her, for Mother, and for Keeper and Father and countless unnamed scattered like leaves on fire. I am strong for them. I am enduring. I am endured. I am unbowed. I am the straight arrow that flies true and home. Aim me, direct me. Pull the string of tension with the flames of your heart and cast me forward. I will fall far, and I will carry your touch in dreams with me. I am the arrow that can never go home, but carries home with me in steams and whistles. I am my mother's nose and my father's eyes and my clan's tongue, and I am my infinite brother's and sister's fingertips. My mother's arms are always warm and soft, because she exists somewhere far away from me, where the me I am now cannot reach her, because I am the me of a different time and place than the me that runs and smells the sweet warm smell of her in the soft spaces of her, the crook over her elbow, and her throat and her underarms, and the soft velvet space behind her ear. Now I am my mother's arms, but I do not know if I am warm and soft, always, welcome, like hers are. Am I? Yes, the touch of a cool, clammy hand that is familiar and welcome. Straw hats and straw in between layers of clothes and straw hair. Straw men and straw boys. Shrinking, small and thin. Don't be sad. I am not straw anymore. Braided grass, yellow and black, like this, remember? Don't you remember? We are like this. Never surrender. Family now. I am no longer straw. Yes, I remember. I braid us tight together in the dark under stars, and I cut the pale flax from the back of your neck and kiss you there because we are friends, and I love you and I am loved by you and we are both welcoming, though neither of us are warm and soft. Yes, I remember. I remember this. a black curl of hair pressed between pansy petals, white and purple, deep royal violet, warm and bleeding outwards, pressed together and gently, carefully rolled into a thin, thinner, thinning, silk about to tear, strip, braided, you braided her too. And the black bone like ash, you ground it into powder, pressed it and rubbed it and smeared into porous cloth. Him too, you see, you remember? Yes, yes, yes! Welcomed into you, the darkness you hide by your velvet soft under ear, right there, see? Yes, yes, yes! And him, and there, and her, and there, and him also, there, see? Yes, yes, yes! Your mother's arms are warm and soft, someone else, but here, now, you are sprawling and curled and braided, held. She held you, someone else, we hold you now, you hold us too. Cornstalks, straw, hello, coal, this is a dream. Dreams aren't true, though. See and see. Yes, thank you. Do I wake up now? Only if you want to. I am here. We are all here. Don't forget that, even in dreams. Promise? I promise. Careful, Solas cautions, resting a hand on her hip as she wobbles on the teetering edge of a chair. Might I ask what caused this misadventure?
I am collecting spiderwebs, Llewellyn says, for the healers. You know, now that I've fought really large giant spiders, I find that the normal ones don't creep me out as much. I don't even mind getting stuck in the webs. It used to feel really weird and creepy and shivery, but now it's just something.
Some credit has to be given to exposure therapy, Solas replies. Perhaps you should ask someone to fetch you a ladder.
The chair works fine, and I can carry a chair by myself, Llewellyn says.
Allow me to rephrase. Perhaps you should ask someone to fetch you a ladder before you fall and crack your skull open.
That's morbid!
Dalin, get a ladder. Or at the very least, ask someone taller than you to do this. Like the Iron Bull. I'm sure he wouldn't mind assisting you.
Bull's busy, Llewellyn replies,
waving a hand and almost sending herself crashing to the floor. Solas pulls her backwards and manages to catch her without falling himself. Llewellyn smiles at him, before jumping out of his arms.
He had a red tie on his door, and that means I shouldn't go in.
Solas wonders when this system was implemented, and how it was explained to her, and then realizes he doesn't actually care to know as long as it works.
Cole's going and asking the spiders for permission first, Llewellyn explains, squinting up at the faintly glittering web in the corner, and helping them relocate to better places for their webs. Dorian hates spiders, unless he's studying dead ones, and everyone else is busy doing other things. I can collect spider webs on my own.
A ladder, Solas repeats, or someone to make sure you don't get injured. He bends to set the chair back to rights, and Llewellyn sighs.
Fine.
It's for your own good.
That's what everyone says, Llewellyn snorts. Right next to, why don't you ask Cullen? Or, we'll see. Or, why don't you sleep on it? And it's all generally meant to mean no, or something along the lines of, you're being inconceivable, stop it right now. Which is the really inconceivable thing, because it is impossible to be inconceivable, as if you think something is inconceivable, you are defying the definition because you are conceiving it as you think it.